I'm excited to start this series. It's going to be a 7-week series, but I want to tell you, I want to just invite you and encourage you right now, if you will, just make plans. Make plans to be here for the next 7 weeks and join us in this series. I think it's going to challenge you. I think it's going to inspire you, but if what you're really looking for is that life transformation, that life change, I want to encourage you right now, you're going to want to get into a group, and you're going to want to join a group for this to be able to discuss the things with others that we're talking about. I'm going to be in a group. I'm encouraging everybody to be in a group during this. It's just really important. For those of you here in the room afterwards, just go out to Connection Central, and there's going to be a team there that can get you connected. After this last service, there was people standing in line waiting to get in groups, and person after person I talked to just said, I think this is something that I'm supposed to do right now. Those of you who are watching online, welcome. Thank you for worshiping with us online. There'll be information there in the chat too for you and how you can join a group. We've got online groups. It's going to be pretty awesome. And can I just tell you another quick reason why I'm excited? Can you tell I'm just like barely holding this back? The way that we finished 2021 and began this year was really encouraging to me, and I want to thank you. So for a lot of the end of the year, we're talking about our year-end offering, and we're talking about the things that we've kind of looked into 2022, the things that we think God is calling us to do. But to be able to do that, we're going to need resources to be able to do that, and you gave so sacrificially. I mean, there were some big gifts given. And I'm not talking about the amount. We know Jesus didn't preach the sermon on the amount, right? Okay? He preached the Sermon on the Mount. And some of you, regardless of the size of the gift, you gave sacrificially because you went to God and you said, God, what are you calling me to do? What do you want me to do? And then you were obedient to it. Story after story, I know you were obedient to that. And I want to thank you so much for that. And I want to report to you that as of early this morning, God provided through you in our year-end offering $930,000. Yeah, we can thank God for that. That is His provision, friends. That's His provision. Now, I got to tell you something that I didn't tell the first service because I didn't know with the first service. I told them God had provided 930, and someone came to me and they said, in the next service, you need to tell them that it's $1 million that we gave. Because we're going to give they're not giving $1 million, but there's going to be $1 million for the year-end offering. Now, here's what I didn't tell them, and here's what I didn't tell you. We said, should we have a goal? And we said, you know what? We're not going to talk about a goal this year. Let's just invite people to pray, and then whatever God provides, we're going to trust that that's exactly what. Well, we had planned for $1 million. And didn't know until this morning that God had provided that. So, listen, people are going to, they're going to have the Bible translated. I haven't even told Greg this. Greg, wherever you're at, congratulations, $1 million. I just found this out. But there are going to be people who are going to have the Bible in their heart language for the very first time. There are going to be people who have someone discipling them, someone investing in their life around the world for the very first time. There are going to be people who come to know Jesus for the very first time because of your radical generosity, your obedient response, not to someone standing up here saying, but to God speaking to you and through you, and to give those resources. All I can do is stand here and say thank you. Thank you for being an obedient follower of Jesus moment by moment. I can't wait to see what God is going to do with the resources that He has provided. In fact, can we just pray about that? Let's pray about that, and we'll get started with our message. Father, we're humbled. I'm humbled. The favor that you have shown on this church, obviously the plans that you planted in our heart to see in our community and around the world, disciples making disciples. This is your mission. This is your vision. This is your heart. And so we thank you for trusting us by placing in our hands these resources. And then I want to thank you for the obedient hearts that with open hands released it to you for your purposes, for your glory, for your honor. May it be so, may it be so, may it be so. Father, now as we open your word, I pray that you would open our ears to hear what it is that we need to hear, that you would open our hearts, that you would open our eyes to see what we need to see. And we want to see Jesus and only Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. And all those who agreed said, amen. Well, we are beginning a brand new series, 7-week series. We are calling All In. And I don't know about you, but I love All In stories. You know, my favorite movies, if I were going to list my favorite movies, they'd probably be those movies where somebody just went all in. I mean, they stepped across the line. There was so much at stake. The tension was high. Maybe it was they were even going to give their life. You know, it's kind of like that freedom, Braveheart moment. I love movies like that. I love stories like that where people just go all in. I recently read a couple stories just this last week. The first story was a story of a small group of missionaries that became known, this was about 100 years ago, they became known as the one-way missionaries. Have you heard about these? This small group, the one-way missionaries. You see, when most of us, when we go on a trip, we get what's called a round-trip ticket. Not these guys. A one-way ticket is all that they purchased. They were headed to the South Pacific. They were headed to the South Pacific to serve a group of people, okay, let's just be honest, a village of headhunters who had martyred every missionary that had ever come before them in this area. That's where they were headed. A one-way ticket. Now, that's not really the part of the story that caught my attention. The part of the story that caught my attention is that when they went to pack, they took all their earthly belongings, and they didn't put them in a suitcase. They packed them, and get this, they packed them in a coffin. Nothing says, I'm not coming back, like packing in a coffin. You might say they were all in. Here's another story. This story is about a guy named James Calvert. He was also a missionary, and he devoted his life to the indigenous people in the Fiji Islands. But the story is told that on the voyage there, this is many, many years ago, on the voyage there, the captain says to him, you need to turn around right now or you're going to lose your life and all those with you if you go among such savages. To which Calvert replies, we died before we came here. Don't you just love that? Doesn't that just like grab your heart? Like, I want to be that. I want to be that kind of all in. Crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's the kind of all in. We love those kinds of stories. And we know the call of all in. Now, we may not be called to be a missionary. We may not be called to pack in a coffin. But we know the call of all in. Maybe for you, maybe it was that moment where you chose that school. Or she said yes. Or you stood there and you said, I do. Maybe it was the moment when you found out you were pregnant. Or maybe it was that moment that you heard that baby cry for the first time. Maybe it was your baptism. But you know the call of all in moments. Because these are the moments that we live for. I mean, come on, if we're being honest, are these not the moments that we remember? Because there's something in your head that's just screaming, don't do it, it's not safe, you need to turn around, danger ahead. And then it's like the heart kind of takes over the head, and it's like, well, okay, I guess we're doing this. And you know in that moment, you're all in. And there's so many of these moments in Scripture. Don't we see these? I mean, these are the moments we remember. I mean, Abraham and Isaac. You know, when Abraham was called to sacrifice his son, do you think Abraham and Isaac ever forgot that little trip up to Mount Moriah? No way. They probably talked about that forever. Or David, walking out on that field to face that 9-foot killing machine with just a few rocks in his hand. I mean, talk about a one-way ticket. Over and over and over, as we read Scripture, we see God calling his people to go all in. And he still is. Now, we also see some, what we might call, almost moments in Scripture. Pilate, almost, pardoned Jesus. Ananias and Sapphira, as we're reading through the book of Acts, they almost told the truth about the property that they sold and how much they were given. In fact, in Acts 26, there's a guy named Agrippa, and here's what he says to Paul. Then Agrippa said to Paul, what's that word, church? You almost persuade me to become a Christian. We see almost moments in Scripture, but can I tell you, those are not the moments that always turn out so well. I believe it's because we weren't made for almost. If we're being honest, there's something inside us that resonates that we were just made for all in. And this doesn't just go for individuals, this goes for churches as well. In Revelation 3 and 15, there's a place where not an individual is being addressed, but the church at Laodicea. Look at this. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. You see, this church is not just being called out, it's being called to go all in. The writer here, John, he's saying, you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But like individuals, churches are called. We want to be a church with a white hot passion for the hope of Jesus and to see others have that hope. To be disciples that make disciples by guiding all people to follow Jesus moment by moment. So, for the next 7 weeks, we're going to be talking about what does it look like for a church to go all in? Specifically for the members of the church, the local expression of the church in the Oak Hills family. What does that look like? So, here's what this means for you. As of February 26th, now, the OHC leadership, we've been talking and planning and praying for several months about this. But we're going to do something that we haven't done in over 20 years here at Oak Hills. We are going to completely purge the membership. Okay, now that I've got your attention, here's what we're going to do. Instead, we're offering, so here's what basically what this means. Now, here's what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we're purging our records. So background checks, children's check-in. If you've been a longtime member, the anniversary date of your membership placed with Oak Hills, it's not going to change. All of that stays. But we're going to zero out the membership on February 26th. So if you're hanging out with some friends on February 26th, that Saturday, and they go, hey, how many members do you have over there at the Oak Hills Church? Well, you would say, zero. We have none. And here's why. Instead, the Oak Hills leadership has determined on Sunday, February 27th, we are all going to have the opportunity to go all in together. to the mission and vision of Oak Hills Church, to fully engage disciples as members of Oak Hills Church. So here's what that means. That means we have the opportunity to go all in together on the 27th. And on that day, I want you to, you know, make plans to be here. On that day, if you sign up and you go, I'm all in, you are going to be leaving that day with a suitcase that looks like a coffin. Okay, I'm kidding, people. Come on. Jerry scratched the coffin suitcases. But here's what this does mean. We're going to have the opportunity to say, you know what? I've talked with God about this, and I'm going all in. Now, we know that this is it's a significant commitment. And around Oak Hills, when we have significant decisions and commitments, we pray. Our core value of persistent prayer, we believe that it is prayer that fuels our relationship with God and aligns us to His will. So, like this church has done many times, we're calling the church to 40 days of prayer. 40 days of prayer to take that time to listen to God. And parents, I want to encourage you, bring your children along. Bring your students along. They're going to be talking about this in our Bible land and with our students. They're going to be talking about the same thing. So bring them along. What does it look like when you got a big decision to bow the knee and to bow your head? And what does it look like to listen to God or to talk to Him and to hear from Him? I fully believe if that's all we did for the next 40 days, that would be amazing, and we see an amazing move of the Spirit. So we want to be in prayer for 40 days. It's going to begin this Wednesday, January 19th, because this is a significant commitment, and the 40th day is going to be on, guess what day? Sunday, February 27th. I have a dry erase calendar in our pantry. Every year, it's kind of a thing that I do. You know, I take the old one down and put the new one up there. Did that just in the last couple weeks. Little dry erase calendar. And the first thing I did is that when I walked up to it, I just started looking at the whole year. And this is the first date right here. This is my calendar. First thing I did is I walked up to it and I circled this date. I don't know why. It was just drawn to it. I circled it and wrote all in. Because this day's going to be a party. I hope right now, I'm hoping you'll circle it on your calendar too. Because it's going to be a party. Because it's going to be a moment where we have spent time listening to God and doing what it is that He's calling us to. Not me or anyone else, but what He is calling you to. And then to celebrate that together. Now, for some of you, it's going to be a first-time commitment. You're taking that step for the first time. Maybe you've been attending Oak Hills for a long time, and you're like, I want to be all in with what God is doing through this church. For some of you, it's going to be a recommitment. You've been a member at Oak Hills for a long time, and it's going to be a recommitment for you. For some people on that day, this could be your day of baptism. We're going to have baptisms right here on this platform. We're already planning for that because we can't imagine any better way for people to go all in than the way that Jesus did it and the way the disciples did it, to be fully immersed in baptism. Talk about going all in and publicly declaring to everyone that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and going all in for Him. So I want you to be thinking about that. For some of you, maybe you were baptized as a baby, maybe you were sprinkled as an adult, but you never, for whatever reason, taken that step of being fully immersed in baptism. Maybe that's what you want to talk to God about over these next 40 days. Maybe that's something you want to consider. And let me tell you, you don't have to wait until February 27th, right after this last service. A lady walks up, and the first thing she said, she kind of looked a little bit shocked. She was like, I think I just got called out by God, and I want to be baptized. And I said, hey, that's great, you know. I was talked about the February, and she said, right now. She didn't want to wait. She didn't want to wait. So she was baptized today. And she wasn't the only one. But if that's something you want to take some time to think about, then you should talk to God about it. Talk to other people about it. We're going to have classes and other opportunities for you to process that call. It's a significant commitment. So can I just say this to our longtime members as well? I hope we're not too heavy because we've been standing on your shoulders for a long, long time. What God is doing through this church, what he has done, it is a huge part of your legacy as he has worked through you. So I want to ask you, even for you, if you've been a member here for a long time, would you consider stepping in with all of us to just say, yeah, I'm still all in? It reminds me a little bit of like a vow renewal. I've had this awesome opportunity of doing these vow renewal ceremonies for people who've been married 20 years, 25 years, 50 years. And I'm telling you, church, it is a beautiful thing when people stand there after 50 years and they go, I still do. That's kind of what we're asking you to do. That we can all step in, take that step together to be all in together, to make that commitment. But a commitment to what? When we're talking about members, we're talking about membership. Our minds go a lot of different places because we use that word in a lot of different ways. But can I just take a moment to tell you what it's not? Being a member of a church, it's not like being a member of a country club where you pay your dues and you get certain benefits and status because of that. That's not what we're talking about. It's not the membership of the big box warehouse club where you've got the card and you walk through and they go and you show them the card and they go. And then you walk in and then you can buy these amazing things in bulk. You get all these amazing products. Okay, it's not that either. And you know what? It's not membership to the gym. Come on, how many of you have had a membership to the gym and you didn't go? Raise your hand. Don't lie. This is church. You see, you signed up, but you never showed up. That's not what we're talking about here. And can I say this? This is really important. So lean in. When we're talking about membership, when we're talking about members, we're not talking about salvation. Friend, you need to know that the first moment that you believed, the Holy Spirit sealed your salvation. The Holy Spirit added you to God's family, okay? So we're not talking about salvation. We're talking specifically about being a member of a specific family, being a member of the Oak Hills Church family, the local church expression of Oak Hills Church. So as we talk about this, let's make sure that we keep those separate. Those are some things that membership is not, but what is it? Well, when Scripture talks about being a member of the church, it speaks of it like this. This is from Paul. He's writing to his apprentice, Timothy, the disciple that he's making. He says, then even if I'm delayed, you will know how to live in the what? Family of God. That family is the church of the living God, the support and foundation of the truth. He's talking about family. Now, we know families can be dysfunctional, but you can't spell dysfunction without fun. And families can be a lot of fun. So, in the purest sense of family, that's what we're talking about. A place where you're known, a place where you're loved. Can I just tell you real quick where this started to stir in my heart? I didn't already say this, did I? Good. This is really where this started to stir in my heart. Back in March of 2020. Anybody remember where you're at in March of 2020? Of course you do. You were in your house. Most of us were in our house or somewhere locked down, shut down. At church, we didn't know what we could do and what we were doing. We could no longer do what was working. It didn't no longer work. But so we did what only we knew to do. We started making some phone calls. We started checking in on people, beginning with the most vulnerable. And there were some great conversations. We connected with people. We heard each other's voices. We surfaced some things, some needs that we could meet in the moment. That was great, but there were also some things that we didn't expect. We didn't expect to hear, we've got the wrong number, or it's a disconnected number, or you know what, I moved, or you know what, I haven't been at Oak Hills for 5 years, or 10 years. Okay, this is the worst. You know, so-and-so passed away. It was a wake-up call. And the leadership at OHC began to ask the question, how are we going to shepherd if we don't know the sheep? How are we going to be disciples who make disciples by guiding all people to follow Jesus moment by moment if we don't even know who's with us? We've been through a pandemic, leadership transition. We've launched campuses to independence. We felt like this was the moment, a rally point, a moment in time to bring us all together, circle the wagons, say who's still with us, and what does God want to do through us next? But most of all, friends, most of all, we want to be the church that Jesus talked about. We want to be the church that Jesus dreamed about. We want to be the church that Jesus died for. And I want to invite our good friend Max Licato to come up and talk to us about that church.
So how can we shepherd when we don't know the sheep? It's a great question, a great time for us to be answering that question. You know, Americans are not very united over things these days. That's why we were so surprised when last month a survey was answered in nearly unanimous fashion. The USA Today sent out a questionnaire asking Americans to describe the mental state of our country. 9 out of 10 people surveyed agreed that we are in a state of mental anguish. 9 out of 10, 90% of us say, man, we're having a hard time staying sane. The uncertainty, the controversy, the sickness, it's worn us out. We're weary, we're worried, we're worn out. We're so worn out that for the very first time in our nation's history, there is serious consideration of creating a 3-digit suicide hotline. We've had a suicide hotline, but it's a 9-digit number. But now there's consideration that just as we have 911 for physical emergencies, now we need a 3-digit number for emotional emergencies. These are difficult days for our society. Maybe they're difficult days for you. But since these are difficult days for our society, these are even more essential days for the church. God's answer to a hurting world has always been a vibrant church. God's answer to a hurting world has always been a vibrant church. The church is the presence of Jesus Christ in a culture. The church is the presence, the living, breathing presence of Jesus Christ in the world. And for that reason, I'm 100% this initiative for us to renew our commitments to the church. It's like over the last 3 or 4 years, we've all been scattered like dandelions in the wind. and some of us are struggling to land on our feet, the first step to strengthen a society is for the church to renew its commitment to the church. And from the very first time that I heard Travis and the team and the others describe this initiative, I was 100% on board. Every so often, it's just right for us to renew our priorities, to evaluate where we are, and to make sure that our personal affections align with the affection of our Savior, and ask this question: do we love what Jesus loves? If we are the presence of Christ, do we love what Jesus loves? If we love who Jesus loves, we will love the church. He loves his church. In fact, let's look at the promise of the church. He has promised the church. He said, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell, or gates of hell, some translations, shall not conquer it. He spoke these words, you might recall, in a city called Caesarea Philippi, set on the boundary between Israel and the Gentile world. It attracted caravans and pilgrims from as far south as Ethiopia and as far north as Ephesus and Asia Minor. As much as any city in Palestine, Caesarea Philippi was a melting pot of people from all over the then known world. Part Las Vegas, part Times Square, part Vatican City. It was a maelstrom of culture. And standing right in the midst of this city, Jesus asked his followers two questions. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. You see, by this time, the disciples had followed Jesus for as much as 2 years. They knew what people were saying. Jesus had a second question. It wasn't enough for him to know what the people thought. He wanted to know what this horseshoe of followers thought. Then he asked them, but who do you say that I am? But who do you say that I am? Now, maybe the answer was immediate and of high volume. I have a feeling it took a while. I sense that question just hung in the air like a just rung bell. Who do you say that I am? I am, I am, I am. Maybe Philip looked at his feet. Maybe John cleared his throat. Maybe Nathaniel reached down and picked up a blade of grass. But finally, Peter, who could always be counted on to speak up when no one else would, he spoke up and he said this, you know, I think you're the Christ. I think you're the Son of the living God. Jesus was ecstatic. He said, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my, what? Church. And all the powers of hell, or the gates of hell in some translations, will not conquer it. When Jesus says upon this rock, he's not talking about the person of Peter, but this confession of Peter, this heart-level belief that Jesus Christ is a divine being. Upon this foundation, Jesus said, I will build my church. He promised to build the only eternal movement, a society that will outlast any government, outlast any company, outlast any organization, the church. We can believe in the promise of the church. We can also believe in the permanence of the church. Hell will not overcome it. What we are a part of today, we will be a part of 20,000 years from now. The church will last into eternity. Wherever we are, When you pass from this life into the next life, you will still be a part of a church. It's the only organization in the history of the world that will last forever. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That phrase, gates of hell, in many translations, refers to the decision-making powers of hell. In ancient societies, the leaders of the city would gather at the gates, and there they would map out the plans for the city. Do you know that Satan has plans and attempts and strategies to destroy the church? He does. That's why so many churches struggle. Satan doesn't come after a government. He doesn't come after the PTA. He doesn't come after the Little League. He comes at the church. If he can destroy the church, he knows he can destroy a society, because a vibrant, healthy church is God's answer to a struggling society. And so he wants to destroy the church, but he will not. He will not. The church will prevail. Will prevail. Why? Because the church is strong? Because the members are strong? No. The church will prevail because her builder, Jesus Christ, is faithful. Who's building the church? Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. Some years ago, I hired a rock mason to build an outdoor fireplace. His name was Jose. He looked to be in his 60s. His face was leathered. His hands were calloused. I showed him where I would like to have the outdoor fireplace. He looked at it and said, I've built 100 of these. Watching him work, I was convinced he was right. He emptied a wheelbarrow of limestones on the courtyard floor, and he lifted each rock, and he would study the shape, and then he would take a chisel, and he would chisel away the parts that did not fit. And once the rough edges were gone, he would slap mortar and set the rock in place. And it was fascinating to watch this master craftsman. He built a fireplace. Jesus is building a church. He is building a church with which and through which he will reign for all of eternity. He will replenish and repopulate this planet in a restored fashion with people who have agreed with Peter's confession. I too believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And right now, he is taking you and me and others who, for all of these decades, the millennia, and he is creating living stones. He is putting us together into a family through which he will have his Garden of Eden. You're a part of it. I'm a part of it. And it will last. I will build, he said. And Travis isn't building the church. You're not building the church. We are being built into the church by Jesus Christ. He's the master craftsman. I will build my church. Not I'm hoping to, or I might build, or if I can get all the problems, or if I can get Lakato to wake up. No, Jesus will complete the project. He who begins a good work finishes it. And he will build his church. Church. This is the very first time the word church appears in Scripture. And Jesus uses it. It's that beautiful Greek word ekklesia, the called out. The called out. Called out of a pagan society. Called out of a toxic culture. Called out of a self-centered, self-focused mindset. Called out. Jesus is building a community of people who offer an amen to Simon's confession. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this church will last. Caesars will come and go. Governments will fall into ruin. But the church of Jesus Christ, built on the person of Jesus Christ, will prevail. Now, to be clear, Satan has and always will try to defeat us. He will. I think right now he's kind of sucked the church into a season of lethargy and controversy. We've been battered about by the hurricane called pandemic, and some people have just kind of put the church on the back burner But I think the Lord is looking for people like Oak Hills. He'll say, okay, we're ready to wake up. We want a Lazarus moment. We're ready to step out of the tomb and get busy back about the work of the living Christ. Jesus has said, I will build my church. And he invites us to share in this passion. So lastly, look at this, the passion for the church. The passion for the church. Jesus invites you and me to have love for his church, to have a passion for his church. Now, many of you do. Many of you do. And like Travis said, we're standing on the shoulders of people who have gone ahead of us at Oak Hills for decades now. And God bless them, many of whom have already gone on into heaven. But then there are others. Well, you're a fan of Jesus, but not really a fan of church. You appreciate Jesus, but the church, oh man, there was that elder who got mad at you. There was that preacher who went overboard. There was that church that squabbled and split back in your youth. There was that leadership which mismanaged money or that mismanaged the scriptures. And for whatever reason, you got separate from the church. You like Jesus, but the church, not so much. If that attitude describes you, can I offer a kind, well, maybe not so kind, a direct word of reminder? The church, for all her foibles, is still the bride of Christ. Still the bride of Christ. And Jesus, who knows the church more than you or I ever will, has said, the church is my bride. And we are being prepared for that great wedding feast in which we, dressed in the grace of Christ, empowered by the Spirit of Christ, will be united with our groom. Now, the bride could use a little makeup. The wedding dress could use a stitch or two. Her hair needs a little bit of attention. I get that. And quite candidly, she could have a better attitude since she's going to marry the Prince of Peace. But the truth of the matter is, folks, we are the bride of Christ. And when we're all in heaven, I challenge you to find me wherever I am. We'll sit down for a cup of heavenly latte. And you and I will agree, we were glad to be a part of the bride of Christ. Amen. We were just glad to be a part of it. Yeah, these have been tough days on the church. A lot of churches are struggling to stay afloat. But the Lord's favor continues to be upon the Oak Hills church family. It's time for us to roll up our sleeves, to bend our knees, to redouble our efforts, and to say, okay, we're a part of God's forever family. I know Satan's coming after us, but he's not going to get us. We're going to stay strong. We're going to stay faithful. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So over the next 7 weeks, we're going to try to answer the question, what makes Oak Hills Oak Hills? What makes Oak Hills Oak Hills? And at the end of those 7 weeks, you and I, every person, will have the opportunity to say, I'm all in. I know our family. You can count on us. We'll be all in. And we're thankful to God to belong to this family. One of my favorite stories I'll conclude with is a story about a priest in a medieval church who once gathered his congregation for a special service. He told the church, come tonight for a special sermon about Jesus. The sun went down, the village went dark, the night stars came out, and all the people showed up at the church, but not a candle was lit. There was no light in the sanctuary. The people groped their way in, and they found a place to sit on one of the pews of the small congregation. And they looked around, but no one could see anyone until finally they sensed the presence of a light at the front door. And they turned, and there was the priest. And he was holding one candle, a solitary candle. And he walked down the aisle, and he walked up to the wall where there was a crucifix of Jesus. And he took the candle and he lifted it up high enough to shed a light upon the pierced feet of Christ. And then he took the candle and lifted it up a little higher until the light illuminated the pierced side of Christ. And then he took the candle to the right hand and to the left until finally he lifted up the light until the light made visible the crucified, the crown of thorns on the head of Christ and the face covered with blood. And then he lowered the candle and he blew it out and he dismissed the church. That's the greatest sermon a church could ever hear about Jesus Christ. That's the job of the church, to shed light on Jesus Christ. At Oak Hills Church, let's recommit ourselves to be a church that sheds light on the loving face of our crucified Lord. May we do nothing more, and may we do nothing less. Amen. Let's pray. In fact, I'd like to ask us all stand. And as Travis said, this Wednesday we kick off 40 days of prayer, but I'd like to go ahead and inaugurate that prayer with a special blessing upon this decision, upon the next 7 weeks. Pray with me, please. Gracious Lord, we bless your name now. You are building your church. And for whatever reason you've had us on the planet during this time of a pandemic, you've had us on the planet during a time of controversy, polarized ideas and opinions. But Lord, we would like to say, as a church, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe. And over the next few weeks, we pray that you would stir within our hearts a love for your church like you have. That we would move from fan to follower, from keeping you at a distance to being disciples. We ask you, Lord, to let your blessing fall upon Travis and Greg and all of our senior leadership. We pray, Lord, that you would guide us as a church family. And on February 27th, when we look up and see who our sheep are, then that we can be more faithful to shepherd one another and to care for one another. Father, there are those in the circle here today who are in need of healing, physically, emotionally, maybe financially. We ask a blessing, Heavenly Father, to be upon them. And we thank you most of all, Lord Jesus, for the promise that we will belong to you forever, that you have defeated our death and you have forgiven our sins. We thank you. And we pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen.